2 through 3. And I want to share something because I believe that there's, we've been talking about a few things. I believe that there's, that God is, has a pattern for the church. And I believe that we've, the church itself has not represented His image and His likeness in a way that it should. And I know that we need to line ourselves up. Amen. We need to line ourselves with God's pattern plan for the church, and how the church is to operate. Amen. Come on, it's not just about just singing. We have an order of things. I want you to understand, we have an order of things that you always got to start somewhere. Amen. But you come and you start somewhere, but there has to be a place where we're open to let God just do His own thing. And sometimes we'll go into a song and just move into that thing. That's what God wants, where that we separate, we get in that place where that, you know what, maybe that somebody that comes in this place, that they come and they have a word in their heart and God speaks to them, they come up here and they share a word that you might need or somebody. That's the way the body operates. Come on, amen? That's the way. But what happens is, sometimes we get in that funk. The church itself has gotten into a place where that they have operated in that environment of three songs, four songs, message, boom, out of here. Come on. Amen. And listen, I want you to know that we got to stop and say, God, I want you to come on the journey. Amen. That this is all about you. It's not about me. It's not for four hymns and a message. But it's more than that. Amen. And those are all important. We have to have them in a sense where that we need to grow up to that place. But I believe that God is bringing us to a place with a message of understanding that we are discipled, that we have a heart to be discipled, to hear, and to be at a place where our hearts are ready to receive what God has for us and to move into and begin to disciple one another. Come on, amen. So they begin to have a heart of openness to lead other ones to know. That's what the whole Bible talks about. Come on, amen. That how that Jesus led His disciples. He came in. He was in relationship with them. And the thing that's powerful about Jesus, I want you to understand something. Sometimes you go into church and the first thing you notice is you could tell who the man of God is. In a lot of churches, you can tell maybe it's the robe he wears or maybe it's this or that. But I want you to know that, see, there's a pattern that we need to follow. And we need to go back in our understanding to look and say, how did Jesus do this? I want you to know that the Romans had to pay somebody to identify who Jesus was. And his name was Judas. Why did they have to pay? Because he just looked like everybody else. He didn't look any different than any of his disciples. He was the leader, the Son of God. But yet he walked in the midst with each one of them that they couldn't tell the difference between who Jesus, the Son of God, was and his disciples. I want you to know that he did that by purpose. He did that with understanding to show that, listen, he was showing that. I want you to know that the Heavenly Father wants to walk in you in the flesh right here, right now. That it's not about a hierarchy. It's not about a pyramid. We've made the church like a pyramid. And I eventually get into that a little bit more about we've used the Jethro theory and that's not biblical. And I'll give it to you. I'll be able to share that with you. But God says, no, he let Moses do that for a while because Moses was tired. But yet God brought him back to the place and says, no, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to operate the church. This is how I want you to work at this. And it wasn't like this, but it was like this. Come on, but Jethro was bringing in what he knew, and it was a Midian. He was a Midian priest, and he brought the understanding that he had. And guess what? The only place there was pyramids were in Egypt, in a Babylonian system. Come on, amen. And it wasn't. It was brought into the church, and now in the Pentecostal movement, we brought that in where you have this hierarchy, and some of it was good with good intentions, but we were just trying to make something happen. God just doesn't want us to make something happen. He wants to go with the pattern that He has. Amen? He wants us to follow the pattern. So we've been talking about the pattern that God has, and we started talking about a week ago about the altars, about how that we have to have a place of altars so that we can understand what the pattern is, that we open our hearts up and say, God, Lord, how do you want us to move and operate in the church? Amen? So you have to have an altar, a place where you set aside to say, here I am, God. Amen? Come on. And we can look at the pattern of men and women in the Bible that got the pattern. How did they get the pattern? They built an altar, a place where they said, I want to hear from God. Come on. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to just go to church to go to church. I just don't want to do this. I want to know what you have to say, God. I want to hear what you got to say. So they submitted themselves. But I want to share tonight about how that we need to understand about how important it is. The main thing that we have to get back to, that we have to discipline ourselves with the understanding, is unity and oneness. I want you just to take this week to take some time to look up the word unity.
Look up what oneness was. Look what the heart, the pattern that he had for the church that was to flow out of the church. It's unity. It's oneness. I want you to know that if you want to see God smile, come together. I'm telling you, you want to touch the Father's heart, love your brother. Love your neighbor. He said that I was in prison. He says, when you do that unto them, you do it as unto me. When you fed the ones that were hungry, you fed me. When you went to prison, you went and visited me. He was declaring something that when you do it unto me. Listen, you're doing it for me. You're blessing me when you bless my children. And we're going to take a look at that and say that, you know, the heart of Jesus. But the last things that he said to his disciples before he left, he went to Peter and he said, Peter, what did he say to him? Peter, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Because if you love me, you'll feed my sheep. Look to your neighbor and say, hey, sheep. Don't say that other word. That's the only farm animal we're going to say. Just Jesus. Listen. And I want us to see something, know that, you know, as I began to just really just dig into the moment, the time when Jesus was in the air, I believe that we really need to look at the climate, the time that Jesus was in, and recognize the time and the climate that he was in is a lot like, and every generation can kind of say this, but I really feel that we can identify with what his climate was. What was going on at that time? And I want you to know that how he addressed things and how he dealt with things. I want you to know that this was the church, the example of the church at that moment, at that time. And he was breaking down some walls, breaking down some things, some customs and religious systems and plans that were there, and saying, no more. But I want you to think about the moment that Jesus was living in. There was a lot of prejudice. The Samaritans hated the Jews. The Jews hated the Samaritans. The Levites didn't like the Sadducees. The Sadducees didn't like the Pharisees. Come on. You had all these together. They didn't like one another. Do you know that women were frowned upon? They were the lowest of the lowest with children. Come on. I want you to hear that and understand that. Listen. And still, when they're just starting to get licensed now. 2,000 years later, they're getting driver's license in the Middle East to drive. That's in Egypt. Today. 2018. But I want you to see this, understand something. That Jesus was breaking down some things. He was showing some things that this isn't the way it is. The church is going to be replicating me in my intentions. The image of the Father, I want it to replicate. I want it to be the reflection of heaven on earth. And this isn't the way it's to be. There's no male, there's no female, there's no Greek, there's no Jew. And I want to show you this. I want to show you this, and I want to give this to you, that this is what the church is supposed to be like. So Jesus says, I want you to know that if we ever can be discipled, if I can ever be discipled, I have to be at a place where that I'm one with one another. I understand how valuable you are to me. Whether you're 1 week in the Lord or 30 years in the Lord, it don't matter. We're one with one another, and you're valuable with one another. I have to see this. The Bible says, know no man, woman, after the flesh. That means that we not look at one another with the intentions of what used to be, but with the understanding of who you are in God. Amen? We need to know who you are in God. I believe that it's so powerful for us to see that, Jesus will never, ever pull from one another what is in one another if we look at the flesh. If I'm always looking at you in your flesh, I can't pull from you what's in you in the spirit. Listen. See, I want you to get this, because Jesus, when he did the Cana of Galilee, the miracle, remember he turned water into wine? Remember before that, his mother said to him, hey, Jesus, we're out of wine. And she says, hey, go do this. Remember he said that to her? I want you to get this and understand that she was pulling because it was her son. That's a normal thing to do. This is your boy. Say, Kristen, you know. See, I want you to know that just she's my daughter. I have to pull from her in the spirit. I can't just know her in the flesh, because that doesn't do me no good. That stuff rusts and fades away. But who you are in the spirit lives for eternity. So I want you to know that Jesus said, and he rebuked her. And she was pulling on the earth that she knew from him. She birthed him. Her fleshly eye identified with him being birthed. I remember you in the end. I know who you are. I changed your dirty diapers, boy. But I want you to know that he shocked her back into reality. He got her attention to realize, wait, he's the Son of God before he is the Son of Mary. He's God's. And so at that moment, it shifted and she says, just do whatever he says. Just do whatever he says. And Jesus did a miracle. I want you to know that we give each other opportunities for God to flow through, to create glory. You know, we are glory creators. We create glory. We represent God. Come on, amen. We represent God. That we have opportunity to create glory for God. That others would be in awe of who He is by what? By who I am in Him. That I represent Him in the earth and you stand. I want you to know that sometimes the church isn't that reflection. They're an embarrassing. Come on, amen. It's sad to say that all through the news, people don't take Christians serious. Why? Because sometimes they really don't have to. Why? Because we haven't represented what we should. I'm not talking in particular. I'm talking about the whole church in a sense. Can't love one another. How are we ever going to love them? And it'll never change until the church changes. The climate of outside is the climate of the inside. The hell that's going on the outside is what's happening on the church. It has to stop. We got to be the reflection. We got to be the temperature gauge. Amen. That the world takes us. Amen. See, that's God's plan. That's His master plan. Is that things flow through the church. Flows through. We are the gateway from heaven to the earth. As it is in heaven, let it be in the earth. We represent Him here, now, right now. Not just in heaven. Come on, we understand that theory. There's nobody sick in heaven. There's nobody blind. There's nobody paralyzed. They need heaven on earth now. And how do they get it? Through us. That's God's plan. That's God's purpose and understanding for us to be the church. To be the oracle, the place where they could touch God when they touch you. Come on. Listen, you're not God. I know you know that. I'm just joking. Pastor said, oh, we're God. Listen, Galatians 6. You got that? That was a long time ago I gave that, huh? Okay. I'm going to find another one there. Listen. And I want you to see that it begins with this. It begins with us, one another, having empathy. I'm going to give you why this really has been on my heart since Friday night. Friday, I get to work and there's a guy sitting there. He's been a laborer. He's been working. And I'm over in Girard. He lives over in Girard. And nobody knows him. And I pull up the job site. And as soon as I pull in, I just felt this burden in my heart for this guy. I've talked to him. I knew he's going through some tough times. And as we go through the day, I realized that he had a bracelet on, a white bracelet, like a hospital thing. And I said, I grabbed his arm. I said, what's this? He's like, oh, I didn't take it off. I was like, what's wrong? He's like, I tried to commit suicide. I said, oh, man. So we can't get into it right now. I said, but listen, I'll drive you home. And we'll talk. All day long was just heavy on me, man. Because I was just like, God, Lord, just, I pray that this moment right now, God, Lord, you just give me the words for him. And this is hard. This is life and death stuff. This is real stuff. This is somebody that when you get to a place where that you say, I'm done. I mean, that's real. Come on, amen. It's not weak people. Somebody said, one guy said to me, I looked at him, I said, shame on you. You don't know where he is. You don't know where he's been. Shame on you. Is it right? No. But I'm saying, you know what? You don't know that breaking point of this man right now in his life. So that's what I mean by, that's the reflection of the church. He's just weak. compassion. So on the way home, he gets in the car and I said, what's wrong? And he began to tell me his situation. And I could say this because I want you to understand that sometimes people are going through things you can't imagine. This man, which is his girlfriend now, was abused, was held hostage, was used as a prostitute. He came in and rescued her, in a sense. She ended up staying on heroin. She can't get off of it. She beats him because she only knows abuse. Come on, I'm just sharing. I want you to hear this. She don't know abuse. How deep does this darkness go? I just want to... How deep is this darkness? How deep is this pain? And here's this kid doing everything by his means to do the right thing. He rides his bike to work. He's 40-some years old, riding his bike to work to get there so he can make a living, just to try to get through. And I take him to a rundown hotel. I pull in, and the cops are standing outside. I'm like, what am I getting myself into? Here I got a guy, I'm thinking, I hope he don't have anything in his pockets, because there's the cops. I'm pulling in this truck. I'm like, I'm... That's got me off last Friday night. That's another story. So I pull in. Before I pull in, he begins to cry. He begins to weep. And he says, I don't know what to do. He says, I don't have nobody. I have nobody in my life. Nobody. Listen to me. I want you to hear this. I have every one of you. You have me. There's nobody. Not one person that he can rely on all by himself. Broke my heart because it just dawned on me that you have nobody. I want you to know that that man should not have nobody. He should have somebody. He should have the church. He should have the church. That even in his darkest place, even in that running and rebellious stage, and know that I got the church. The church has my back. The church is there for me. Because I want you to know that, listen to me, God depends on us to be His voice, His eyes, His feet, His hands to them. God depends on us to be that. Come on, amen. God depends. That's why Jesus said, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed them. God, you'll feed them. No. You feed them. I'm asking you, if you love me, if you want to reflect who I am, love them. You feed my sheep. There he was, and I stood there, and he says, can I call you? Yeah. It's because I just don't need to talk. I just need to talk. I said, man, you could do more now. You call me and I'll visit. Maybe tomorrow we'll just hang out or whatever. Tears running down his hands. I mean, it just breaks my heart to know that there's so many people out there that need us to reflect who He is. And the Bible says that bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. Not baggage. Come on, not baggage, but burdens. I'm not meant to bear his baggage. In a sense, hear what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not my responsibility to have to take all that he's got himself into. But no, but to take his burden and to be there and love him and to be an encouragement to him, be a strength to him. Bring what I got. Pour in what I got because I have something. I have oil and wine. Come on, amen. I have joy. I have life. Come on. We have an anointing within us. We have something to pour in. And it says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If you bear one another's burdens... I want you to know that we need to know that if you have a burden, that if I have the means, that we begin to learn and operate in the Spirit when we do that. We wonder, how do I... Listen, we learn that. When we find out what one another, we ask God, we talk to God, or we just say, man, if I have the means to do something, if I have the ability to help you, if I have the time to take you to lunch, to sit with you and talk to you and let you just cry on my shoulder. They don't just need your opinions on how things are or your theology. They just need you. They just need to hear your voice. I didn't really say much to this guy, but I was everything to him. Because he has nothing. And it wasn't, oh God, oh, I got to say this and that. My mouth was zipper shut. I usually don't have that problem. I got something to say. Especially when it's about Jesus. Nothing. but he had a shoulder he can lean on. He didn't need a mouth at the moment. Listen, for if any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. He deceives himself. Amen? Listen, and he says, hang on one second, I got something else I wanted to add on that. Bear one another's, he says, but let every man prove his own work. No, that's it, there. But I want you that you fulfill the law. What is the law of God about this? What did he say? You shall, he says, for the law, fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? To love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. And you fulfill. I want you to know it's all with love. It begins with love and it ends with love. I want you to know that here's the problem with the church. We've opened our hearts to receive the love of God and then shut the door. We've taken it all in. Give me, give me, give me. But yet haven't let anything out. I want you to know that sometimes we wonder why God doesn't talk or why God doesn't do this or that. I want you to know the way that God moves, the way that He moves is through the simplest thing. You will know that you're my disciples with your love one to another. They will know you are mine by the way that you love one another. They will know that you are mine by the way that you love one another. That's how they know. How do they identify love? Never fails. It never fails. It never comes short. It's always available. It's always there. I was telling the marriage group that I said that love, it never fails. You know why? Because it doesn't quit. It doesn't quit. Why does it never fail? Because it can't quit. It keeps loving when it's hated. It keeps loving when it's rejected. When it's turned aside. It keeps loving. Never fails. It can be rejected, but it doesn't fail. Might be rejected, but it doesn't fail. Never fails. Love never fails when it comes from God. Amen? But he says, Matthew 5:13. I'm just going to give you a couple of scriptures. Austin, could you turn that fan on and turn it on me? I'm done. Listen, 5:13 says, listen. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, but cast it out and trodden. That's what it feels like. The church has been cast down, trodden. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. Shine. Shine. Be my representation in the earth. So I'm going to say a statement right now, and I want you to get it. Get it. Know where I'm coming from with this. Just face it towards me, if that's all right. The Bible says in Philippians 4:18 and 19. Look that up. And this is how I want to just declare something to you and know how important this is for us to understand this. But this is what Paul was declaring. He says, but I have all and abound, I am full. He says, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Say from you. Listen to me. Everything that I needed was sent from you. An odor of sweet smell. A sacrifice accepted, well-pleasing unto God. But listen to this. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Listen to me. Who bought, got the everything they needed? The church. Who did God use to supply all Paul's needs? The church. I want you to know that God can rain gold from heaven, but I want you to know that God chooses the pattern to use His church to do what He needs to do. See, because He's using you. There's a reciprocal. We're family. He's the Father. He's looking for sons and daughters to represent His business in the earth. Jesus did that. I'm about my Father's business. I'm here to supply what you need. What do you need? He walked up those people that were hungry. What did He say? He asked the Father. He reached and went to a young man that had some fish and some loaves. He said, give it to me. My God shall supply. It didn't fall from heaven, the loaves and the fishes. It can. But it came out of a young boy from the church. See, that's the way God operates. God wants to use His people to represent Him in the earth. To reflect and to be His sons and daughters in the earth. He desires a family. Because I want you to know, if He was going to do it on His own, what did He need us for? Why did He send His Son? So that we can have His Spirit in us. So that we can reflect Him and do what His will on the earth. That's what it's all about. That's what church is supposed to be. So when we understand this, this is how it flows. It begins to operate. We begin to move in something that, man, this is awesome. We begin to find our giftings. When we operate in love and meet one another's needs, help one another, encourage one another, be open, be sensitive to God, to one another, and watch and see. It's like, man, I know my brother, man. You all right? You all right? You feel like you know, man. Are you here? I'm here for you, man. Honey, I'm here for you. That principal at school teaches you bad. You let me know. Listen, I found out that, man, my wife had a hard time with a manager. She was like, oh, he wouldn't even, I said hi to him, and he wouldn't even talk to me. He was so rude to me. Which one? She goes, no, which one, honey? He won't say hi to you, but he'll say hi to me. No. Listen. But my God shall supply all my... The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says that we have this ministry. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians 5:18. In all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Christ Jesus, hath given to us a ministry, opportunity of reconciliation. Next verse. To wit, to do that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Next verse. Listen, I want you to get this. Now, say now, we are the ambassadors of Christ. Now, we are the ambassadors of heaven on earth. We carry whatever the King has commissioned, we carry that on earth. We are ambassadors. We are disciples of God in the earth. We pray in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Listen, I want you to know that reconciled, that means that there's been that divide, that separation is gone. There's no more. There's no more divide. We are here, right here, ambassadors, declaring one to another, there's no more war. There's peace. That you can receive and know God like I know God. That you can have a relationship with Him like I know Him. That He can set you free. He can touch you. He can heal you like He's done in my life. We carry that ministry. We carry that word. Let me finish with this. And you could go further with it, but it's in Luke 10. Jesus, you've got to remember the climate, the atmosphere, the temperature of the moment that they were in. And so here's this guy, he says, this is in Luke 10:25. It says, behold, there's a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What am I going to do to inherit eternal life? How do I get eternal life? How do I go beyond? What I need more in life than what I'm getting right now. This is what He said to him. And he said, what is written? What does the law say? How do you read it? How do you interpret it? I want you to get this and understand that, listen, Jesus is breaking the way that you interpret things. You can look at things, every one of us can look at something and get the wrong view, but it really doesn't matter. We need to know what God says about it. You might even think that you know what the Word of God says, but we have to have the heart of the Father for that matter. We can't be stuck in our ways and say, well, no, this is the way we've done it. No, we need to know the heart of God. And we operate together with that understanding. Man, I'm going to listen to what God has. He'll confirm it. God will put it in my heart. I'll get a hold of this thing. So here he was. He says, I want you to know. I want you to tell me, what does it say? And this is what he said. He says, and he answered, he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And thy neighbor as yourself. Your neighbor as yourself. And this is what Jesus said. He says, you answered right. This do, and you shall live. You'll have life if you do this. You love God, you love your neighbor. You love one another, representing me. And you'll live. You'll have life. You'll feel me. You'll feel my presence. Giving me opportunity to use you. That you can experience my love, my nature. Giving peace to somebody, blessing somebody, giving joy. Well, I don't know if I have it. You do. But you got to let it out. You got to release it somewhere. You got to find a way to do it. Opportunities in church. Listen. And it says, but he willing to justify himself, she said, who is my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? And Jesus answering said to me, he says, this certain man went down to Jerusalem, Jericho, and he fell among thieves. He was stripped and he was wounded and he was left for half dead. He wasn't dead, but he was left that way. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by the other side. And then all of a sudden, here comes a Levite. He says, who basically is an assistant of the priest. He went past too. You had the priest go by, and then you had the Levi go. Maybe he was an elder, or maybe he was a deacon, but he came by. He was representing. This is powerful because I want you to know that each one of those were supposed to represent the church. And Jesus was declaring something and showing something, and it was going to make some people angry because he was upsetting the fruit cart because he was declaring something, showing something. You've missed the mark. I haven't gone on track yet. And it's wrong. So he was saying to them, he says, you've missed it. And he says, they all walked past him. I want you to know that this is what I thought about really well because I've tried to find an excuse. Why wouldn't they stop? And I found a good excuse many times. You know, that's what we do. Why can't I love that person? We'll find an excuse why we can't. We'll find an excuse why we can't go to church. Or why we don't want to go to church anymore because you got hurt or this or that. Well, I don't want to get hurt no more. I want you to know that this was a bad place that they were. This was a very treacherous part that they were going into. The road was bad. It was called the road of death. The road of darkness. And they were thinking in their minds, how about if this guy's faking it and grabs it? Because you probably heard stories about it. Well, I've heard stories about church. I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to love again. I'm not doing it. But I want you to see here that Jesus didn't give them any room for that. There's no excuse for it at all. We might have every excuse that we can, but that's not the answer. We still got to answer to God. What we did? Did we walk by? Or do we stop? And there was a Samaritan that walked by. It said he stopped. And it says that he reached down and he poured in the oil and the wine, which what they carried was kind of what's a bandage you keep bandaging? First aid kit. It's kind of like a first aid kit because they'd keep wine because the water was no good to drink. You'd get sick. So they kept the wine. And he said they'd have oil, but they'd use those it wasn't really good. It wasn't a great first aid kit, but it was at that time it was great. But it wasn't about that because what it did spiritually was even greater. because it represented something even more, something very powerful, something that brought life to this man, something that restored him back to where he was. And I want you to know that he used a Samaritan, he poured it in, he lifted it up, and it was a representative of the church. It was representative of Jesus, being that he went and he went to the inn, and when he went to that place and he sat down, and he says, and he paid the bill. He paid the bill. He gave them everything they need to pay. Just take care of this one. Take care of my sheep while I'm gone. Take care of my sheep while I'm gone. I'll be back. But I want you to take care of him. Whatever he needs, do it. Help him, restore him back to health, 100%. That was the church. I want you to know that that's a representation of the church, that we have care of those ones that are hurt. He did it all. He poured in the oil and the wine of the cross. He restored people. Now what we have to do is get them back to that place of understanding what they got in Christ, what He already accomplished. Get them to know that they are reconciled back to God. There's no more boundaries. There's no more barriers, no more. And the only way that they're going to know God's love is yours. Because it's responsibility. That means I got to love like God loves. What? Yeah. Unstoppable. It never stops. Never fails. Amen? So he says, whatever it is, he said, whatever cost, he says, and he said, he showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto them, listen, I want you to get this. What did he say to him? He said to him, he says, which one of these three do you think was the neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? Which one of these ones? Which one? And he said unto him, he showed the one that showed mercy on him. He still had some issues because he didn't say the Samaritan. He said the one who showed mercy. The one that showed mercy. That's all he said. He says, now go and do likewise. You go do it now. Tell your neighbor, go do it. Go feed my sheep. Go represent him in the earth. Go declare it to one another, to each one another, that we can share that. We are a reflection of the Father in the earth. That's what Jesus was showing. That's what Jesus declared. He was representing that. We're going to take communion. We're going to wait for the kids to get up here. They're on their way. But I just want this to be a reflection of that. Listen to me. I want to take the time to really pull on the pattern of God to get back to the basics. I just don't want to do church. I want to grab hold of what the pattern that has for this house, for our vision. I want you to know that I want to start with the understanding that it's unity. That is the biggest heart. I want you to know that that's the vision of this church. It's not what all the things that we could do. We were ourselves having this vision about all these different... No. My vision is this. Is oneness with one another. That's my dream. That's my heart. That's what God has placed in my heart. That we're one with one another. That we're willing to love one another through pains and situations in our life. That when others see us, they said, man, that's awesome. I want that. It's not even natural blood. But it's spiritual. One with one another. That we're desperate to be in unity with one another. I'm willing to lower my agenda or opinion just to listen to what you have to say. Amen? Love one another. We're going to go ahead and Matt's going to come for Kristen and for a praise team. Come on up. And I just want us to receive this. And I want us to see that, remember, this is how we can have unity right here. It is what Jesus did for us at the cross that gives us power to accomplish everything gives us the ability to be ambassadors. Right here. Partaking of who He is. I can't love like that. Yes, you can, because He did. If He's able to, now you're empowered by Him to love. The unlovable, unreachable, the broken, the lost. Amen? Would you stand to your feet? Heavenly Father, God, Lord, I just pray each one of us that our hearts be right to God, Lord, as we come to the understanding that, Lord, what we are partaking of is You. And to God, Lord, this is a powerful representation that we are one body, hallelujah, and one Spirit and one God. We come together in Your name in unity, uniting in all that You've done, not what we've done, but what You've done, the power of Your name, and we receive it in Your name. Amen. The Father's arms are open wide. Open wide. That means that we are open wide, that open our arms. We're the reflection of what God says. Our arms are wide open. Come on. Doesn't matter whether they look dead or half dead. It doesn't matter. We have the power and the authority to reconcile, to show love, to declare, hallelujah, that you've been forgiven, you've been set free, you've been loosed, hallelujah. We don't worry about anything else. We just declare it, and that's what God has given us, and keep our eyes and our arms open wide. Amen. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You that we have the power and authority, God, Lord, to declare to God, Lord, and to bless to God, Lord, those that are hurting and broken. I pray to God, Lord, that we be the salt of the earth, that we be the reflection of heaven to God, Lord, the taste of heaven, and we be the light unto the world that's lost that represents You. In Jesus' name, give somebody a hug. Bless one another. Downstairs, we got some cookies and some snacks. Come on downstairs. Grab a cookie. Give somebody a hug. Amen. I'll see you next, or this Wednesday. Amen.